So, leadership then in a covenant team, we live for the Father's glory, the Father's will, and we seek only to give life words and love for God, love for people, not critical ones. In other words, we're living for the family. We're living for God. We're living for the family of God. And we're bringing forth the glory that is due His name. It's not my church. It's not even our church. It's His church. It's our church in the sense of being part of the destiny of God. Now, I've in leadership for 20 years, I can say these two things are non-negotiables in my life. Do I always do them exactly right? No, I fall sometimes. But I believe that when I fall forward and God picks me up and helps me. And so these are still non-negotiables in my life. And anything I'm going to be a part of, my goal is going to be to live for the Father and for the glory of the Father and to always speak life words of love for God, love for people, and not critical ones. But I will speak corrective ones. I will take the responsibility to help people overcome their iniquities, overcome those internal weaknesses. And so this is part of a covenant foundation of leadership. So as we continue on with a covenant foundation for leadership, we've now come to Malachi chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it says here, the messenger, Malachi says, "But you have departed from the way." And he's speaking to the priesthood. And in those days, the priesthood was the leader of the people in an old covenant way. In the new covenant, the priesthood are all believers, but leaders are priests among priests to activate, facilitate, and release people to become who they're meant to be as kings and priests in this earth. And so we as leaders cannot depart from the way. He says, "You have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi." The covenant of Levi was, "We're with you, God. We've separated unto you to do it your way, to bring the testimonies that reveal you, your character, your nature, your way, your power and your authority expressed in the form of law in the old covenant, in the new covenant, in the form of a higher law, the pure love that casts a shadow that looks like those things that pointed to the truth. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law." So as a leader, then I can't show partiality in expecting people to overcome by the power of God's grace in their life and become a testimony of putting the Father's will first and living for the testimony of His love in all things. And so I can't depart from that way. That's the will. And so we as leaders set an example to keep God's ways before the people that none will stumble in loving God and loving others. So our own lifestyles have to be demonstrations of keeping God's way before the people so that we won't be a stumbling to them. And we are not to show partiality in loving God and loving people. One of the things that I constantly guarded my heart on as a pastor for 20 years was when people would come to the church, there are some people I naturally like and some people I don't naturally like. But my attitude had to be, I cannot be prejudiced. I have to open my heart to live 100% for both of these situations and let God prove what is what. Is this my own prejudice or is this something that's a discerning of the Spirit? Sometimes it was a discerning of the Spirit. Some people I wish I'd have taken a stick and chased them away on the first day because they were troublemakers. But sometimes it was my own personal agendas that had to be dealt with, and I had to realize God looks at all people as His children, so I cannot be prejudiced in leading people to put God first and helping them overcome that place of iniquity in their heart to be those who know the life and the peace that comes by God's truth. So we set an example to God's people in this. And then Malachi 2 verse 10, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers?" And so we cannot profane the covenant of the fathers. We cannot live with cliques and clans. We have to live for the will of the Father and all people that He joins to us. So our third goal then is we reveal the Father to those we lead. We will point all to the Father. So goal one, we live for the will of the Father and for his glory in all things. Point number two, we live to speak life words of love for God, love for people, not critical ones. I'm not avoiding correction, but not critical ones. And our goal number three is we point all to the Father. We don't point them to our own ministries. We don't point them to ourselves. We point all to the Father. In Malachi 2, verse 11, Judah has dealt treacherously. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. Now, in the Old Testament here is they didn't stay intimate with God in God's ways, adhering to the Torah temple system, the Torah tabernacle reality, but they went after the ways of the world. Now, what are things that we could marry that are daughters of a foreign god? Sometimes I see that pastors and leaders get intimate with ministry. They become intimate with their church agenda or their ministry agenda, their prophetic ministry, their teaching ministry, their healing ministry, their works that they do become a foreign god, a mistress to them. Instead of falling in love with God and living for his purposes, they fall in love with becoming a big church, or they fall in love with being a ministry. And so they get distracted from the reason for which they do minister. And now they begin to minister for ministry's sake instead of ministering for the sake of those they love. So we're not called to ministry, we're called to love. We're called to family. We're called to covenant relationships. And that's why we minister. But here in this story, Judah, Jerusalem, Israel, they had become unfaithful. They had chosen a relationship with other things. And so in covenant foundation of leadership, we will be true to God our Father. So our fourth goal then is we will not make personal agendas or personal ministry our mistress. Personal agendas, personal ministry. We don't make any aspect of ministry our mistress. How good can I do worship ministry, or how good can I preach, or how can I build my church? Instead of saying, how can I fulfill your will, God, in fulfilling my role as a leader among leaders, a leader for the sake of people becoming according to your will, your plan, God. So we have to not allow any personal agendas or any personal ministry to become a mistress, a point of intimacy in our hearts with God. And we have these things happen in our journey in various measures at various times, and we have to guard our hearts against those things. So Malachi 2, verse 12 and 13, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, and who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. In other words, a man who realizes that God is drawing his heart toward God's purposes, but he wants to do his own thing. He's a God seeker, but he's not really a God seeker anymore. He's not acting like a Jacob, not acting like a God seeker. He's acting like a seeker of his own personal agenda. And if that happens, may the Lord cut off that man's tents. May that Lord cut off that man's influence or that woman's influence. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. And so there comes an attitude of complaint against doing it God's way. I've seen leadership teams get distracted by their own agendas, and then they become wearisome toward doing it God's way, and they complain, to their senior leader, or even a senior leader disconnecting from apostolic authority, complaining about having to be connected to something else. And so they become weeping, they become wearied at doing it God's will, God's way. And I think we have to be careful as leaders also when we go through difficult things. We can forget why we've been called to leadership, and we can start crying and complaining. And then really when we do that, there's some other mistress that's come into our heart. We're not leading for the right reason anymore. God called us, he selected us to fulfill a role in his calling, his inheritance, his destiny. and he's anointing us for his purpose. And so we want to make sure that we keep our hearts right with a passion toward his will. We live for the Father's glory. So we must see leading others as a joy. Leading is a joy. If I don't see leading as a joy, then the first place I have to adjust is my own heart. Yeah, there are things that go on around that make it difficult at times. But when those difficult things happen, I've got to reconnect to God in my heart and find the joy for which I've done this in the first place. God called me to this place, and so it's for the joy of leading that I do this. What joy? For the joy of people experiencing God in their hearts, seeing God the Father, seeing his will, and being empowered to be a testimony of that love for him and for one another. In verse 14 of Malachi 2, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Now, I believe that this verse, we could take this and say, in a metaphoric scenario, in a metaphoric example, the church, as a leader, you're kind of like the husband role, wife role in the family. That's the deepest covenant level. Not all leadership is in that perfect example, but I do believe that leading is like parenting, that you're leading the family to become a family of families, to multiply, not just to build a big church, but to build many sent out testimonies of families that are testimonies of the family of God. And in that, there is a parental role. Leadership is like parenting. It's like in various seasons, various roles, little children, growing children, teenagers, adults. So it's like parenting. And then that covenant role, there is also like a husband to a wife. And so leadership is kind of like a husband to the bride, to the body, as the wife, as Jesus is the groom to the bride. You can't take these things and just say, well, it's always like this. These are metaphors. These are expressions of different realities that are revealed in these things. And so if we choose to have a relationship with ministry instead of the body of Christ that we've been sent to, we are despising the wife of our youth. If we choose to have our own will and our own way over laying our life down for the sake of of the body, which is like the wife, then we're choosing a different mistress, a different way, and we've got to guard our hearts against these things. In Malachi 2:15, did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? In other words, didn't he make a husband and a wife one, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. So let me use this example now in leadership. In a role of leading a congregation that God has entrusted you with, a spiritual letter that God is writing, the leadership aspect is, in some sense, like the masculine nature of God, like Jesus, to activate, facilitate, and release his bride, the body, the local church expression. And in that, then, there is a covenant relationship of that leadership team and the body. For what purpose? To produce babies, to produce offspring, to become a family of families. Not to use that body, that bride, to satisfy the needs of the masculine expression of leadership, like a husband getting his needs met from his wife, but a partnership of leadership and the body to produce offspring, to produce families. We should not just be a growing family in a local church leadership expression. We should be a growing family that's going to produce family of families, going to produce babies, going to produce maturing children, going to produce grown-up children, going to produce marriages, going to produce extension of families. So we're going to be family of families. And so we have to live for this purpose and this cause. And so this is very important for leaders.